Well, thanks for being part of our church family this morning. It's not fun. It is fun. It's great to worship together, sing together, read God's word together. We're continuing the, I'll call it the Ministry of Refreshing Streams. We've gone through, see if I get this right, consecration. We've gone through alignment. We've gone through walking in the Spirit. Is there another one I missed? Today we're doing words. Words. Let me throw out a challenge up front. I think too often, I was going to say all of us, but many of us miss correlating the experience that we're having in life with the words that we just spoke or heard. We aren't connecting the dots. I'm going to try to connect a lot of dots this morning. There'll be personal dots. I think the kind of illustrations that I have will probably fit your life also, but I want for us to see how the words that we hear or the words that we speak impact us. Scripture tells us that words are important. In Proverbs 18:21, words kill or words give life. They're either poison or fruit, and you choose. You choose. I have a slip of paper with a verse on it. Each one is to, in a few minutes, each one is to have a verse, okay? Then we'll tell you what we'll do with them. So take one and pass it on. Most of these are from Proverbs. They're about words. I think that if we hear and ruminate on these verses, we can go home. But there'll be more than that. So what does it mean to give or to speak or to hear words of life? I think one of the ways that we share words of life is when we sing together, sing scripture together or read scripture together. So this morning we're going to be kind of out of the box with our worship time. When we sing or read scripture together, I think that helps us to enter into God's presence. And it also helps God to come and be present in our circumstances. So this morning, if we'll do that, I invite you, let's not make this compulsory, I invite you to stand and read out loud your scripture verse. We each have one. I invite you to stand and read out loud words of life. At first, I was going to give you a verse and have you share about 5 minutes of what that verse means to you, but we'll do that some other time. I love cleansing streams. I don't think, Luann, when you were sharing, on the farm, we have a wagon that has wagons have four wheels, and the front wheels are like this on this wagon. Now, for those of you that are mechanics, you might know that I call it a tie rod, on this right wheel is out of adjustment. But you know, and I just used this wagon recently, this wagon really has a hard time following. Really has a hard time following. Luann, it says that so well. Mechanically, this wagon is, when I pull it, it wants to go not where the tractor is going because it's out of alignment. This morning, we're going to talk about words. Words. So I invite you now, are you going to use the mic? Just okay. I invite you to stand and read out loud your verse.
One at a time.
Yeah, I think you can pass the mic on.
James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak.
Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like swords. Wise words bring healing.
Proverbs 21:23, a wise man who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity.
Proverbs 16:23, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, his lips promote instruction.
Proverbs 15:4, the tongue that brings healing is the tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit.
Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones.
Proverbs 15:23, a wise man guards his mouth, his lips prompt instruction.
Proverbs 12:25, worry weighs a man down, a cheerful word picks us up.
Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, harsh words stir anger.
Matthew 7:26, anyone who hears these words of mine is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock.
Proverbs 15:14, gentle words cause life and health.
Proverbs 15:23, everyone adores a thoughtful reply. It is wonderful to say.
And one final one, Proverbs 10:32, lips of righteousness bring what is acceptable.
Thank you for doing that. Cleansing Stream is recommending that when you have your personal devotions each day, that you stand up and read out loud scripture. That was new to me, but it's effective, really. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts just be very acceptable to you, O Lord. For you are my strength, you are our strength and our Redeemer. In your name we pray, amen. I love parables. So let me read you a parable from, I think this is in all four Gospels. It's the parable of the sower. I'm reading from Luke verse 8, or chapter 8, verse starting at verse 4. And then we'll talk about this parable. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow the seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. At verse 11, the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those in the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Do you remember the last time you planted a seed? And that's coming up, Deb. Yeah. It'll be very soon. Are you surprised what grew up from the seed? Yeah, really. Probably not. I mean, if you plant a kernel of corn, you aren't going to get a potato. I mean, we all know that. You plant a kernel of wheat, you aren't going to get onions. Did you know that, Larry? Yeah, okay. Very good, yeah. So It's kind of the way God designed our world. Actually, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. God's word is often referred to in the Bible as a seed. I thought about that, and it does happen quite often. Like in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. When God's word is planted in your soul, it takes root and grows and becomes fruit. So then, in a sense, we're kind of farmers who can sow seeds. I hear quite often here in the beginnings, are you planting a seed in somebody's life? It's an expression that we use. But at this point, things kind of get tricky. If all words act as seeds, do the words always speak good, or does words have a different effect on people? And not only the words that you speak, but the words that you hear, the words that come into your life that happens so many different ways in our time. It can be television, radio, the device that you're holding, holding in your hand. So like reading and writing and arithmetic, they aren't 3 R's, are they? There's 3 R's I want to refer to in this parable. Receiving, retaining, and reproducing. So the soil is the receiver in this parable. In order for something to retain something, it has to stay in the ground. And seed in good ground will reproduce. Receiving, retaining, and reproducing. Let's not forget that God made us from the dust of the earth. In probably the second chapter of Genesis, God took up, a message translation. God took up some dust in his hand and blew life into it, and that was man. So man was created from dust. God has breathed into the dust the breath of life. So in the receiving process, a seed must be received and nurtured before it will reproduce. The parable is telling us that. In the parable, some seed fell along the path and never began to germinate. That seed was not received into the soil. A seed not received cannot grow. Likewise, words spoken to you, and catch this, words spoken to you do not have to be received. That's a truth that Cleansing Streams taught me. Words spoken to you do not have to be received. That's very very key in today's lesson, I think. Words that go against what the Bible says to be true about you do not have to be received. I have one brother, Jim, who's younger than I, who's no longer living. Jim reminded me, even when he was 60-plus years old, that somebody said in his life to him, you won't amount to a hill of beans. You won't amount to a hill of beans. Now, I think that's a catchy little phrase, and what does it mean? I'm not sure. But that was very impactful to my brother. Somebody said to him, I think they weren't thinking, someday you won't amount to a hill of beans. So watch your words. Watch your words. What's what you say? Retaining, once a seed has been accepted in the soil, it must remain in the ground to germinate and to grow. Like the parable, some seeds did not make it into the ground, and so they obviously didn't germinate. When words are planted in your heart, you will retain them by believing them, meditating on them, and cause them to grow. As a farmer, I think of this as being ruminating. We live next to a small group of animals there at Pleasant View, and one group is an alpaca. We were out there watching them some weeks back, and in the middle of nowhere, this one alpaca went and started chewing, like, excuse me, what? You have bubble gum or what? So alpacas have more than one stomach, so they were ruminating the grass that they ate I don't think it was yesterday, but probably earlier in the day. How do we ruminate on God's word? Think about that. Do we need to bring it up, or what do we do with that? So in order to retain something, we need to meditate on that and allow it to become or apply it to our lives, to our hearts. We don't have to retain every word that's received. It really happened this week. I would say it to, I didn't say it to the person, but I thought about the words that were saying to them. I really don't know if that's what I want in my heart. Reproducing, the third R. If we receive and retain, we will reproduce. The words you have received and nurtured will bring a harvest. This can be good news or bad news, depending on the seed. The process of reproduction is the same whether you're speaking to others or to yourself. The process of reproduction can be the same whether you're speaking to others or to yourself. And this is, I got caught up in this week. Sometimes you become your worst enemies. I'm going to give you examples of that in a little bit. Why speak words of life? There's a lot of one another's in the New Testament. I counted them one time. There's 55 or 58 of them, lots of them. And I think you know some of them. But one of them that applies to this is that we need to encourage one another. We need to encourage one another. That's why we want to speak words of life. We need to encourage ourselves. I read again 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, where it says, David strengthened himself. Now, he didn't go to PV Fitness Club or whatever he did. Maybe he did that, but went to the fitness club. But he did it by saying, God, you are so faithful. Or, I will obey what you say, Lord. So the effects of speaking words of life are far-reaching. One of the challenges in farming these days is a noxious weed that grows up in our row crops called bur cucumber. The simple name for it is pickles. You can go out and pull the pickles off the plant. I mean, these pickles can get so outrageous that it'll stall your farm machinery when you harvest. I mean, it gathers on the parts that bring the machine, the crop into the machine and clogs it up. So you can pull these pickles if you think that they're a nuisance and you think you got them, but a few weeks later you go back out to the same spot and guess what? There's pickles. And the next week, there's pickles in the same spot. The root of bitterness, there's some roots that we can't get. And they will cause trouble year after year after year. Seeds of death. I prefer not to talk too much about seeds of death, but we need to recognize the seeds that aren't giving life. Those things are things like gossip, criticism, arguing, lying, profanity, complaining. You know, it seems like the tongue never gets tired. It's been about 4 weeks ago now that I was to see my dental hygienist. Is that your favorite time too? My dental hygienist seemed to think that my tongue was trying to follow her instrument, and so she was making comments about what my tongue was doing. I was studying this, so I thought, how am I going to get back at her in a kind way? How can I tell her that I can't really tame my tongue? I don't know what's doing. So I thought, I said to her, are you new here? I thought, that's a kind word to ask. She might tell me maybe she won't get the point, and she didn't. She said, no, I've been here since 2008, so I have a lot of time, and I pretty much know what I'm doing. I have a lot of experience with this. That didn't work. But anyway, that's a physical way in which our tongue is not tamed, but it is something I think I can understand. So our tongue is a part of our body that needs to be surrendered to the Lord. I mean, my arms get tired, my legs get tired, but I'm not sure if my tongue ever get tired. Matthew 12:36. Idle words will be accountable on the day of judgment. Or the message says, every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you on the day of reckoning. So sometimes those words we can fit into the category of being curses, which is something spoken against an individual which is contrary to God's word. At some of my lowest times, when I'm talking to a person that is getting under my nerves, I will say to them, I don't do this anymore. You're worthless. Not good words. Or someday you're going to go to jail. Don't use those expressions. That's not offering life. So if we speak words of blessing, they're words that are in full agreement with God's word. They're usually the right word at the right time and the right place. Boy, how many of us can do that? I'd love to be able to do that. So how to speak words of life? We need to know the Lord. We need to get close to him. We need to know his principles. The Lord is our daddy. My daddy was in a retirement community at the last weeks of his life, the last months of his life. And so I was given this position as an executor. I had to answer his questions. I had to look at his mail. I had to make decisions for him. I need to know him that well that I could do those things. So we need to know our Heavenly Father that well. Another idea as to how we speak words of life, we need to avoid judgments. Don't question other people's intentions or their hearts. Too often, I fill in the blanks before I have all the facts. Our house on Gish Road was very tight. There wasn't leaky windows or doors. And if one of the doors was ajar, and we went out of another door, slamming the door shut on the door we went out would close the other door, and so doors would slam. And my wife and I would often say to each other when they left, "What is your problem?" Well, there wasn't a problem, except the fact that the house was so tight that the doors were motivated by the wind motion of another door. But you see, we take those kind of clues and we make the worst of it. We need to test the words and see if these words are from God or if they're from the words of our flesh. Do the words line up with Scripture? So we need to choose to bless people. And let me give you some examples of this because this ministered to my own heart. It speaks to me. Do you ever say to your children, "I'm so privileged to be your dad or your mother"? Or do you ever say to your daughter, "You're a woman of God"? A couple weeks ago now, we were visiting our granddaughter's new arrival. Camden. I got to hold Camden when he was about 3 days old, my grandson, my granddaughter's son. And I took Camden into my arms and said, "Camden, you are a great grandson." And it seemed like this three-year-old baby was smiling, which probably was not, but it seemed like their great-grandpa was crying. Words of encouragement, "Camden, you are a great grandson." Do you ever say to your children, "You love the Lord so much"? Or do you ever say to your daughters, "You're such a beauty"? Cleansing Streams use the illustration of a tube of toothpaste. You probably remember this. And you squeeze out the toothpaste onto something, and you ask somebody to come up and put the toothpaste back into the tube. Words are like that. They're very difficult to take back. So we need to use this, we need to recognize the spiritual dynamics in the use of words. God's word would have us understand that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against demonic powers. So it seems like in our use of words or in the use of hearing words, we're in a spiritual battle. God is always trying to draw us toward himself. At the same time, the devil, Satan, wants to steal our hearts from God. So what is going on in our lives when something ticks us off? I think we understand that setup. When something ticks us off, what is going on? Have you ever ridden in a car where you were not the driver, you were a passenger, and somebody pulled in front of the car that you were riding in, and the driver had some four-letter words or other words that they said, oh, they didn't hear me. So there's a dynamic going on here I want us to kind of understand or grasp. I think our words and our actions, actually our actions, are releasing the power of God in your life or the releasing of the power of the devil. Really. The words that we hear or the words that we speak are releasing life or releasing evil. Jesus is trying to release life in you. Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy anything good that you have. So 2 Corinthians 10:5, we need to take every thought captive. Or Galatians 5:22, we need to control our actions. Sometimes you act, you're releasing spiritual power, either God's or the devil's, into your life. Are there times in your life when you feel like speaking negative thoughts and emotions? Negative thoughts will come to all of us, but we don't have to receive them. This is very difficult with me and probably all of us. If you don't say it, it won't be yours. If you won't say it, it won't be yours. I learned this as Cleansing Streams, and this was 20 years ago. I've learned not to say, and I almost don't even want to say that here. I learned not to say, I feel like I'm getting sick. That is so simple. I've not said that for years, and I've really had less sinus problems and cold problems because I omit saying that. Negative thoughts will come, but we don't have to receive them. If you don't say it, it won't be yours. You know, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep the birds from nesting in your hair, really. When you start verbalizing and speaking negative thoughts, they become yours, and they begin to release negative power in your life. Examples. These are very home-hitting examples. I'm sorry. I didn't put initials behind these. These could be all BH. We pray that God would heal us. But when someone phones us and asks us how we're doing, we tell them how bad we feel. Really, this is so real. My. We pray for restoration in a marriage. Yet we criticize and beat down and speak negative, thus releasing negative forces. Every word that you say is a seed that produces after its kind. Remember, we reap what we sow. If you gripe or complain or speak negativity, that's probably the fruit you'll end up with. This is not a hard formula. It's much harder to do. Satan will take advantage of the words we use. Matthew 12:37, for by thy words you shall be justified, or by your words you shall be condemned. The message says, words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can be your damnation. Another example. We watch and listen to the radio and TV, the internet, or magazines that to one degree or another feeds us a steady diet of violence, hatred, sexual immorality, and strife. We allow this sewage into our lives and homes, and Satan uses it in our lives. We say, well, I can watch that stuff, but it doesn't affect me. Think about that. Think about that. It doesn't affect you. Our second daughter has two sons. When they were elementary age, they'd be watching a good show on TV, and when the commercials came, Denise would go and turn the TV off. I said, what are you doing? She said, I don't want my boys to see that nasty commercial. I thought, wow. So there's some things in our life we can turn off. Do we know what they are, and will we do that? I'm really kind of amazed at how people don't associate their actions with the results that they're experiencing or the words that they're experiencing. Putting your head in the sand isn't going to change that situation. Are you living in a way that exempts you from God's power? You can turn off the TV. You can turn off the violence. There are many different spiritual laws, and one of them that governs whether you receive from God or not is the power of your words. James 3:9, the tongue can praise God or the tongue can curse man. The message, with our tongues we bless God or our Father, or with our tongues we curse the very men and women that God created. So faith flows through words. You can't speak death out of your mouth and expect to receive life. You can't speak death out of your mouth and expect to receive life. Mark 5:25. A woman said, if I may touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I shall be made whole. She said, if I could touch Jesus' garment, I would be made whole. This was if you remember the scripture, this was a 12-year-old troubling problem. She suffered much, and I think the Bible says she spent pretty much all that she had. And I looked at this in a Bible commentary and said that she was even involved in doing things that are crazy in our mind, like she would carry the ashes of an ostrich egg. Like, what does it have to do with healing? Or she was carrying barley corn found in the dung of a donkey. She was trying things that, in my mind, were superstitious. But these remedies were no help. If I could touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. So if we pray for something and it doesn't come to pass, we need to evaluate, have you cooperated with God's laws? Is what you prayed for something that God's promised? God will not move in your life without your cooperation. You can't pray for something, then act in a contrary way. One of God's laws, you can't have your will in one direction, then expect to get results that come from going another. Some examples again. You can't watch TV that ministers depression, then operate in joy. You can't take in all the bad news without strengthening unbelief. That is, I make it a point to not to read the newspaper first thing in the morning. There's something better to read. As a matter of fact, you could probably not read the newspaper any part of the day and you'd be better off. But anyway, you can't experience God's peace if you're meditating on ungodliness. Your emotions will follow what you think about. From Ephesians 3, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, according to the power that worketh in us. Need verse. So the battle is in our minds. It's kind of, the battle is between our ears. Satan is controlling us through our lives in deception. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I think this America is very close to being destroyed because of our wickedness and our yielding to Satan. There are no absolutes. Sexual immorality is not wrong. There are many roads to heaven. You can go on and add to the list. So Satan is fighting us with words and thoughts. The battle is in our heads, in our mind. Words based on God's words release life. Words that are inconsistent with God's word minister death. So every word you speak or hear is either producing life or death. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the news may say this week that it's flu season. We even got a call from our pharmacy that's saying, CBS, you know, are your shots up to date? And I'm not wanting to debate shots, but I don't think we need to accept some things we don't need to receive. And the fact that this is flu season, really, what does that have? I mean, it may be, but what does that have to do with anything? Some of the things that we can avoid saying, and I think if we recognize these and know these, we can blot these out of our use of words. And how many times did I do this? I can't do anything right. I'm a failure. I'm always failing. Why say that? If words release power, I think that's not a positive power. The scripture truth for that feeling comes from Philippians 4. I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. If I don't say this every week, I hear it said, sometimes I think I'm losing my mind. Now that sounds, you know, we can chuckle at that, but I don't think that's words that you want to use. Or I feel like I'm going crazy. For 2 Timothy 1:7, looking at God's truth, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Another one, I'm afraid of people. They might hurt or reject me. Proverbs 29:25. Fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. Another one. We're too poor to tithe. I can't give money to the church. We can't even make it through the end of the month with our finances the way it is. Malachi 3, God's word, verses 10 and 11. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury. Test me on this and see if I don't open up heaven and pour out blessings till it overflows. Another one. I can't stand it anymore. I'm totally stressed out. I feel like giving up. You ever have that feeling? If you do, don't say it. I mean, that will help a lot. Another one. God could never change God could never cleanse me of my past. The Bible verse, if we confess our sins, he is more than able to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Let me close with an illustration. I think I may have shared this before. Part of my serving the country in the draft, I'm kind of that age, was that I would do mission work, 2 years of mission work, and one of the years was in Texas. I was with a group of eight people, and we would, our fun time would be things like going to the Gulf of Mexico, which is right next to us there, and swimming. So one day, the eight of us went in a van to the Gulf of Mexico, and I learned, I was a farm boy and grew up out of a farm pond, so I knew pretty much how to move my arms and feet so that I could stay above water. And the rest of the crew knew that. And so when Olin Mason, our director and a minister, went out beyond the ocean where he could not wade anymore, but he could touch the bottom, but he couldn't stay there or he couldn't breathe, thought that he was at his limit, he said, "Help." And the other seven of us said, "Haldeman, you're the one that needs to go help him." I said, "Why? He's a drowning man. I can't do that." So I went up to Olin, and our typical response would be to give him a hand and help him. When I reached out my hand to help him, he grabbed me, and we both went under. So I learned since that when a man's about to die or to drown, there's different ways that are better than others to help him. So I said to Olin, "You can make it," talking about the power of words. "You can make it." And I backed away from being physically close to him. I said, "Olin, you can make it." And as I was saying this, I kept backing into the shallower water, and he kept following me. And he was following me because he would go down and bounce up back up off the bottom with his feet. When we got to where we could both stand with our heads above the water, I grabbed him and helped him to get to the shore, which is a long ways. When he got to the shore, he said, "I would be dead except for the words that you told me. You can make it." Words are powerful. Watch the words, how you use them, and watch the words that you receive into your heart. They can really make a difference. Since I knew where I was going with this morning, I looked back on my week this morning, and thought about the times in my week last week that were either high times or times when there was a spirit of heaviness. And I tried to put into that happening that week, what were the words that were part of that expression that I was feeling, either heaviness or lightness? And you know what? I could almost pick the words. It was might have been something in one case that was that I watched on TV, like, wow. Words can bring life or words can bring death, the Bible tells us. Let's pray. Father, we ask for forgiveness where we used words of harm. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to, because you gave us two ears and one tongue, we would ask that you would help us to listen before we speak. So as we go from this place, Father, give us direction in our lives, and may we choose to, may we be deliberate in choosing the words that we hear and the words that we speak. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.